something either that's listed. So, like, this is a special. The cottage is special. We don't normally do that because it's for bereavement. So that's why it's in the liturgy piece after the prayer of Israel and then before the Shema. And then this is the order. So the song is prayers on the second to last. So let's get this back in order.
But Shalom. But Shalom in the home. How's the praise team today?
Woo! All right.
You're praising.
We're praising.
Sorry I missed prayer. I really wanted to be there, but I had to get my microphone through my shirt. I won't go into details,
okay.
But
we're on TV now.
Are we on TV now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, all you folks at home, I had to get my microphone through my shirt, in case you were wondering. This is Rabbi Joe, and we are Lion of Judah Live. Lion of Judah Live. Everybody roar. Okay, and we're going to have live Messianic worship here, coming to your home, to the comfort of your home. You can put us on your smart TV. So get ready to worship the Lord, because it's Shabbat.
The Shabbat is to be a delight. We're to delight in it and to bring our joy into his house and to receive his blessing. Amen. And who is that Messiah? Yeshua. We know who he is. Amen.
Amen.
So let's bless him today with all our heart. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natin lanu et de Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sent way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And this prayer, Ma Tovu, is a traditional ancient prayer, and we just thank the Lord that we are able to come into His house, into His tents.
Righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru. Okay, we're going to do the Vishamru. And Vishamru Vene Israel Et HaShabbat Lasod en HaShabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat. Lasod en HaShabbat ledorotam barit olam. V'neu v'nei v'nei Yisrael, v'nei Yisrael, od hili olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat. Lasod et HaShabbat ledorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai et HaShemayim v'et HaRetz. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat. Lasod et HaShabbat ledorotam barit olam. Uv'yom ha'shvi Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat. Lasod et HaShabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. My friend, Brother Ronnie, he used to say that. He said, amen, Brother Joe. Amen.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her.
Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. They shall prosper who love thee, says your word in Psalm 126. Thank you, Father, that you are bringing shalom to the hearts of your people Israel, the Jewish people, one heart at a time, Lord, just like you did mine and others that we know, Lord, just one heart at a time. Everybody comes, one heart, one person, one life, one soul at a time, Lord. Open the eyes of your people Israel, Lord, for their redemption will be life from the dead, and it will be the when the church and the Messianic Jewish community unite, it will be that the world might believe, Lord. That the world might believe. May the prayers of Yeshua and John 17 be answered, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that people in our catch the vision of Messianic Judaism. Help them to catch the vision of Messianic Judaism, Lord. And catch the vision and water the seeds that have been sown, Lord. I pray. Lord, I pray for our Messianic Jewish brothers, our leaders, that you would give them compassion for the rabbis, for the people they lead, that you would give them that we would be a movement. We're not a denomination, we're a movement, we're the revival of Israel, and that our leaders would help us, the rabbis, that instead of each one building their own little kingdom, that the bigger brothers would help the little brothers, and just pray, Lord, that you would take care of the sick ones, take care of the ones who have needs financially, Lord, and that you would just that we would be a movement that looks like others that take care of themselves. You know, there are many other groups out there; they take care of their own as well as others. And that we would be like that, Lord. Make us like that. Help us, help our leaders to walk the straight and narrow and not to turn to the right or the left. Give them vision, Lord. Give our leaders vision.
Yes, Lord.
And give them, give the rabbis boldness and understanding of your word, Lord. One of the things, I was talking with a friend who goes to a big church, and he says, people don't understand the word anymore. They don't read the word. They don't know the word. Lord, bring your people back to your word. Jew and Gentile, Lord, bring us back to your word. Give us an understanding. Even the leaders need to have a very cohesive understanding of basic doctrines. Lord, I pray for them. And I pray especially for my friend Jeff Adler, that you heal him from his, in the recover, as he recovers from his heart attack, and also in heart surgery. And I pray for Lynn Feinberg, Lord, that you would take care of her after the loss of her husband and Dan, and that you would care for Rabbi Lynn and lift her arms and provide for her, for all her needs, Lord. I pray in Yeshua's name. I pray for my mother, Harriet, Lord, that you take care of her. She's in hospice, and that you would just heal her, give her strength, long life, Lord. Just add days to her life, I pray. That you would add days to her life, Lord, and that you would give her quality of life, and that she would come to know you, Lord, that she would open her eyes to her Savior, to Yeshua, the Messiah. Thank you, Lord, for Mom. Help her to sleep. Help her, and I pray for a chance to see her again, Lord, in Yeshua's name. And we pray for our service today, Lord. Bless us. Bless the work of our hands. Bless this Shabbat, Lord. And forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. In Yeshua's name.
Hallelujah.
Servant to the Lord.
Are you Kaddish?
Well, if you want to...
I'd say we did it.
Well,
it was just a joke. It was a joke.
We're still going to do it. Do you want to do the servant of the Lord too? Is what I'm
okay, saying. Anthony, servant of the Lord.
Okay. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. And we're going to sing the Kaddish. And at this time, we just want to remind people that we've had three losses in our congregation in the last 2 weeks. And some of you know... So I'm going to let the rabbi introduce that. And then none of the people are here. I thought maybe the Matthews would be here. But what I'm going to ask is that one person would stand in for each one of those and come forward and will light a candle in their remembrance. And, of course, the flowers on the altar are also in remembrance of the dear loved ones. And we just want to spend a few moments remembering their life and... who they were to us. And we have Tom Philippi. Who would like to stand in for Tom, for Sharon today? Raise your hand. Debbie Zamora, would you please come forward? And Marge Crowder. I think Diane had... would you stand in for her? And you can come up. And then we have Solomon Matthews, and Madonna will stand in for Matthews family. We're representing the families who are mourning their loss. And Marge Crowder really didn't have much family. I think her sister was in Boston, and then she had her stepfamily here in this area. But while we sing this song, I'd like for those who are representing the families to light one candle each, and then we'll Well, as we sing the song. And Rabbi, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, you know, baby Solomon was born. He was stillborn, and he passed away about a week ago. And fortunately, thank God, his mother was able to birth the fetus. She was able to give birth and not have to have a cesarean, but he was born, and he's with the Lord, and he was named here in a prayer meeting. His father got the name on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and the Lord gave him here in this assembly, gave him the name. Some of us were here and we saw it. He said his name is Solomon. Remember that? And we're going to sing this song in remembrance of our dear friend Marge Crowder. Marge was just for those who didn't know her, she always had a smile on her face. She would never let you have a pity party. And she was a great encourager and a great friend and prayer warrior. She would always pray for people. And she's just a lovely woman. A lovely woman died at, I think she was 92 years old, maybe 93. And she's been with us for about 15, 16 years before she got too sick to come. And then the other person was Tom Phillippe. And Tom struggled with C. diff and infections he just couldn't overcome. He was 83 years old, and he passed away about 3 weeks ago. I conducted his funeral service in his graveside. And several of you, thank you. I want to thank everybody who came, those of you who did come to the services, different services, and for the people you knew. And I know Madonna, I think, was at both of them. We were both services, yeah. And so let's sing the Kaddish, and as we remember these beloved friends.
Magnify and sanctify his name. By his word the universe was framed. When no stars yet was born, creature formed, he reigned alone in majesty, the King of all eternity. Oh, magnify and sanctify his name. It da by it da Shemirah. All praise his holy name
Praise.
So I'll stand for the Shema.
Shema, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol meodecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta baham v'shivtecha b'vetecha v'lechtecha v'derech Uveshachbacha vukumecha, ukasharton liot al yadecha, vahayu latotafot bene necha, uchatavtam al mezuzot betecha, uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, upon your gates.
Well, I'm going to ask Isaac and William if they'd like to carry the Torah, and Charlie, if you would come and open the Ark for us. Ba'elim Adonai ve'en kemasecha Malchutcha malchut kol olamim U'memsheltecha v'chol dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai imloch le'olam v'ed Adonai oz li'amo yitain Adonai yivarech et amo v'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Name my token, my name.
the Lord, for He is always there for you. Give thanks to the Lord for His goodness.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, and we welcome you today. Have your way.
Vayehi ben Soharon, vayeh ben Moshe, kur na Adonai v'yefutzu oivecha, v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, ki mitzion tetze Torah, ki mitzion tetze Torah, li'amo Yisrael, v'kdushato. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Liamo Yisrael, Bikdu Shato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be He who in His holiness gave the Torah to His people Israel. Amen. You know, some people, the Star of David, I don't know if you can see see the Star of David on this Torah cabinet. See that star? It's a six-pointed star. It's basically two triangles intersecting. But I've been in Israel and I've seen colonnades, you know, from the time of Yeshua back in the first, second, and third century that had three triangles. It had eight points. And I have a theory as to why they had 8 points, because I went to McDonald's this morning and I was getting some breakfast for my sons and myself, and I asked for an iced mocha. And the lady said, what flavor would you like? And I said, mocha. And she said, so did you want a frappe? And I said, no, I want an iced mocha. And she said, what flavor do you want? I said, chocolate. And I said, do you need to get some help? And she went and got help. And they finally figured out what an iced mocha is at McDonald's, where they sell iced mochas. Anyway, my point is that perhaps some of the guys cutting the stones when they were making the Stars of David in the second century or the third century, people in Galilee were considered, it's an insult to be called to be from Galilee. To be from the city of Tiberias is on the Sea of Galilee. And so if you're from Tiberias, you're a Tiberiani. Okay, everybody say a Tiberiani. Okay, so if you tell people in Israel you're a Tiberiani, they're going to like look down on you. You know, you're like a lowlife. Okay, it's like saying you're from Buchanan County around here, you know. I'm serious, you know, it's like saying that or you know, Pennington Gap or something like that. You know, I'm not. I have no problem with Pennington Gap, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on up there today. It's a beautiful place, but there's a lot of problems up there. What's that? No problem with Pennington Gap. Beautiful place, lovely people. Some of the ones I know, but they are struggling with the law. There's a lot of drugs up there. That's my point. Anyway, So my theory about the eight-pointed Star of David is that the guys cutting it didn't know that it was supposed to be 6 points, not eight, and they added an extra triangle. Now, this brings me to another story I have about McDonald's, where I ordered a Caesar salad one time, and they said, well, what kind of dressing would you like? And I said, Caesar. And then there was the time they had to advertise the $169 bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. We didn't try. That was a fancy breakfast. We didn't go for that one. But anyway, praise the Lord. Yes, Caesar salads do go with Caesar dressing. Generally, speaking, and mochas are chocolate. But with that said, Stars of David are 6 points, and God bless you. Shabbat shalom.
All right. Yeah, amod. La amod.
And now that I've given you a drosh, here's Anthony to give you a real drosh. Yeah, amod, Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch hu et Adonai hamavorah.
Baruch
Adonai hamrach yolam va'ed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol hamin. Ve'natan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Adonai noten ha-torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the blessed one. Blessed is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen. Reminds me of one more joke, but I'll tell it later.
Okay. Today's parashah is Vayet Kanan, which means I pleaded, and it's from Deuteronomy 3 through chapter 7. And, you know, today we start the Shabbats that are called the Shabbats of Comfort, and there are 7 of them, which leads us up, of course, to the High Holy Days, which with the class this morning we talked about Yom Teruah, which is the first of the High Holy Days. So invite you to come to class sometime if you can. We're going through the feasts, getting ready for I believe they start in the month of September. And we found out this morning that the eclipse is going to fall on Rosh Hashanah this year. So it's sort of, we just had the prophetic conference. Then I believe the guy spoke about the alignment of the planets. So it's all falling into place. One thing I would mention before we get into the Torah is about the land of Israel. And this, I can't remember if it's next week or the week after, but there's a lot of churches, congregations having their annual conferences. And I happen to get some information about the Assemblies of God. They're meeting in Anaheim, California, and they have a resolution that we need to pray against, because they're basically moving away from the Jewish people in the land of Israel. They have a resolution called Resolution Number 3, and it's following some of Rick Warren's teachings, and they're saying that they are a congregation of peace and that the Jewish people are causing a lot of the turmoil, or they are responsible for the turmoil in the Middle East, and they are no longer going to be supporting the Jewish nation of Israel. They are saying that Israel just really doesn't, the Jewish people really don't have any claim to the land of Israel. So that's some of the teaching that's one. We won't go any further into it, but pray that they have enough leadership that they will not pass something like this, and they will continue to support and pray for the Jewish nation of Israel, because that's God's end time right there, whether you believe it or not. And that's like the rabbi was saying, a lot of people churches are getting away from the Bible, because when you get away from God's word, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall, because it is a light unto your path. So when you go into darkness, you're going to fall and be injured. So today, what's interesting about today's Torah portion is Israel is in the same place they were 40 years before. They have moved, but they're back to the Jordan River, and that's where they were 40 years ago when they sent the spies into the land to see if they could live there, and the report was not a good one. And so all the people that were older than 20 years and older that were in the census, they all perished in the desert. And as God said, their bones were bleached there in the desert. They were not permitted to go into the promised land. So really, this last week, you know, Moses begins going back through the first 4 books of the Torah. And Deuteronomy is actually just a recap of the previous 4 books. But today's parashah, if you read it, it's Deuteronomy 3:23 through 7:11. It contains some of the most fundamental texts of all the Jewish scriptures are in this Torah portion today. It talks about the Shema, and we see that also it mentions about the Ten Commandments. They're mentioned in there. So Moses is reciting these things back to the Jewish people. They have conquered Sihon and the king of Og, they have just had a battle with him. And so, you know, if you look at the Shema that we just prayed this morning, it tells us to love God and to study his Torah. That's what the Shema is telling us to do. It tells us about the mitzvahs of the tefillin and of the mezuzah, that we are to put it on our forehead, on our arms, and put it on our doors and on our doorposts, that we are called to do that. It is a witness of God's word. It is a witness of God. You know, that's why we place those things there. I had two Mormons who came to my house, and they were intrigued by the mezuzah on my garage door. They said they'd never seen anything, so I had a chance to share a little bit with them. But they said, that's in God's word. And I said, yeah. And so we talked a little bit. They were very intrigued because it was on the side of the garage. But and that's why it's important. I know Bill Batiste wears a lot of shirts that have God's things on them, and that's important. It's a witness. It's presenting God's word to people that are lost, because this world gets more lost every day. We lose our way every day. We're constantly getting farther into the darkness. But today Moses is doing something that a lot of people do. He was pleading with God, and he keeps praying to God and asking him, will you let me go into the promised land? And he keeps asking. He's pleading. He's begging. And finally, God reached the point that he says, no, Moses, you will not go into the promised land. That was because of some of Moses' failures, that he did not believe and did not trust God for the things that God told him to do. And we're in that same boat. A lot of times God will tell us we don't get anything because we don't ask. You have to ask God. He knows what we need before we pray, but we need to pray fervently to God and let him know what our needs are and the needs of others. So Moses, through God's kindness, actually got to see the promised land. God let him go up to Mount Nebo, which is also called Pisgah, and there he got a glimpse of the land of Israel. Not only did he get a glimpse of Israel, but I think he saw that some of the future, that Israelites would fall back into idolatry, and that he knows that he would not enter in. So his plea to the Jewish people becomes even more earnest as he's pleading them to hear and to listen, that the commandments of the Lord, that they will go in and take possession of the land, because it was without God they could not have taken possession of the land. And they doubted him before, but you know, it's when they gave the Torah, he's talking about the giving of the Torah, and we see God came panim el panim. He came face to face to the Jewish people. They actually saw God face to face, and they heard his voice. He spoke, and they saw the fire and the smoke that came from the Mount Sinai, and God gave them the Ten Commandments that we still have today. They're a subject of a lot of concern to people, that they don't like to see them. Anytime I see them, I always look to see if they're in the proper order. Sometimes they get some of them a little out of order, but they're still there to remind people that God is still on the throne. He hasn't moved. We can't embrace anything. We can't embrace any other religion, any other faith, but the faith of God, one God, the God of Israel. You can't embrace any other religion that calls someone God. That's one that, that's a new movement here in the U.S., and it's been around for a while, but it's gaining a lot of headway and steam. A lot of people are being convinced that there's more than one way to heaven, and there's more than one God. Just because you say God and people say Allah, well, that's God. That's just another name for God, but it's not. There is but one God, and that is the God of Israel. There is no other. That's what he says. There is no other God but me. And so when you embrace that, you're moving into idolatry. You're moving into idol worship. It may be a trick of the enemy, because they say, well, God to you is different than my God. But again, we don't control our destiny. God has our lives in his hand, and he is still the God on the throne, and there is no other. There is one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of his son. And so any religion that preaches anything else other than than a crucified Messiah is not going to get you to heaven. You can't get to heaven because you do something good. We are supposed as believers to do good works, but our good works do not save us. It would be nice if they did, but the rich of the world would grab all of the blessings. All the people that are so wealthy would take all the blessings, and we that survive from day to day would not have anything. So it's not based on what you do, but on your faith in the risen Messiah. That's what it's all about. So Moses tells them, he knows that Israel in some point in the future are going to be exiled. They're going to be sent out of the land of Israel. But one day, he knows, and God is telling him one day, as he told Abraham, I will bring you back into the land. We can't kick the Jewish people out of the land of Israel. It's not going to happen in our lifetime, in the next lifetime. So Moses pleads, just to close, Moses pleads to the Jewish people that they would observe, listen, and obey. That's what the Shema says. It says here, it means to listen, and not just listen, but absorb what God is saying to us. So that's the Torah portion. And another thing, the book of Deuteronomy to me is, it's a love letter. It's a letter to the Israelites about God's love to them. And it's also God's love to us as believers. Shabbat Shalom.
Torah, Asher, Sam, Moshe, Lifnei, B'nai, Israel, Al-Pi-Adonai, B'yad, Moshe.
This is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Amen. It's Chaim here. Mazik kiba etoteva nerusha derakeina derkeino am nechol etivoteva shalom
hashimenu.
Fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated.
Set yourself down a spell.
This is the synagogue, the Galilean synagogue.
We're the Tiberianis of synagogues.
Yes, we are. We're in an outpost. Hallelujah. And you'll get to hear more of Rabbi's jokes, so just stay tuned in.
Amen.
Woo!
Go, Rabbi.
You can't get this in a church, I'm telling you, right? You want to have a real comedian? You know, you got to come to the, you know, synagogue to get the real jokes. We do want to welcome everyone online. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, 1128 New Hampshire Avenue, and we do invite everyone to come and join us in person. We're glad you're with us today. And please let us know if you are watching so that we can know how many people are with us, and just send us an email or phone call or something like that, and let us know how you enjoyed the service. Rabbi will be speaking here. His message today is the title is you guys get the poodle out of your purse. So I'm not joking when I say you're going to really like Rabbi's message today, okay? It's going to be helpful to you, especially if you have a poodle. So, all right. How many of you have poodles? Just a few announcements before we continue on. I think we're all family here. Do we have any visitors in the house today? I think it's, yeah, that's all. We're all family today. Praise the Lord. If anyone's not getting our texts, our congregational texts, please let me know. Make sure we've got your cell phone, not your house phone. It's the cell phone that we use to send out information on the text. So I'm getting some returns on my text because I think some of the numbers that I have are not cell phones. How many of you do not have a cell phone or a way for receiving a text? Do not. So everyone has text. So everyone, except for Earl. So everyone here should be getting my cell phone, my text messages, or Rabbi's text messages. He sends some out as well. And if you'd like, be updated, make sure that your information is updated so that we're getting you on the right list there. Okay? Just a few upcoming events. First of all, Roy Kendall from Israel. He's a worship minister, and they are emissaries to Israel. They have a center there in Israel. They host a lot of people from America as they come and do prayer and just different kinds of ministries to Israelis and Israeli believers. They've been in the land for over 20 years, and we've known about them from the very first trip that we took to Israel, and they also have produced some really wonderful worship CDs. So we invite you to come out and bring some friends. Roy Kendall, and I don't know if his wife is accompanying him, Mary, but this is August 19th during our Shabbat service. So please come and receive what God has to say from Mr. Kendall. Okay? Just want a few reminders. Just want to remind you, today we had a Pearls of the Torah study, so it'll be the next one. It'll be the 19th. And I do keep up with that on the email that I send out so that you know when that is. So that's like 9:30 in the morning that you meet? 9:45. And the next one will be August 19th on the same day as the Kendalls. So show up early, get some coffee, and have a Bible study with Anthony over in the fellowship hall. You won't regret it. We're normally here getting everything all set up and doing some a rehearsal, but everybody's welcome to go over to the fellowship hall and enjoy the Bible study with Anthony. Okay? So keep that on your schedule. Also, we have Wednesday night prayer. Everyone's welcome to come, 7:00 here, and we pray for everyone's needs, and God really moves and hears our prayers. Amen. We have a little worship, and then we pray, and we usually do something with the children. So please come on Wednesday nights. I do want to thank you. How many of you attended the prophecy conference this Monday and Tuesday? All right. Did you guys enjoy that? The music was awesome, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So we really had a good time. And during that time, we were working on the newsletter. So I want to thank everyone who came and helped Monday and Tuesday as well during the day to get out the newsletter. And there are copies of them out there on the in the vestibule in the foyer. So the title is Messianic Judaism, the Missing Key to World Revival. So that just went out. It went out on email and regular mail this week, and please pray that God's word does not return void, that people are not only just reading but receiving God's word for his people, the prophetic word that Rabbi has to send out to this area, to these people.
Thank you all for supporting and coming out. We'll probably have another prophecy conference at some point, but this is really just a warm-up for the fall feast that's coming, and Rabbi's going to be teaching more. There's some really momentous events coming up this fall, and I'm sure that God's going to be speaking to us about those things. He already mentioned something about an eclipse, so we'll be talking about those things. If you want to learn from a Jewish perspective, please come to the fall feast. They start September 20th, and there's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. This is God's time to speak. It's God's time of revival and of repentance and renewal and readiness for his return. So it's a time that God speaks to us about the end times, and it's also a time that he speaks to us personally about our need for change in our lives. Amen? Amen? So please make it a priority. God's calendar is important. He put it there in his Bible, in our Bibles, for us to, for our good. So come and attend and receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I mentioned before, the flowers here are in memory of the ones that we've lost. And if you wish to send Marge Crowder, the Matthews, or, Marge Crowder doesn't really, she may have some family. I'll have to get you her address. Or Sharon Philippi, if you'd like to send them a card or any sort of, condolences, you're welcome to do that. And, just ask me, I'll get you their information. Okay? But otherwise, I think we have a card back there today for the Matthews. So if everyone would like to sign that over in the and we'll send it out.
And I just want to say, too, we didn't tell everybody because it was unclear to us that there was some misunderstanding. We thought they wanted privacy because they said there was no funeral and we didn't know what hospital they were in. There was very little information given to us. We didn't know if there was a birth or a C-section. So I didn't know what to say to you all. I just didn't know. So, but apparently they had wanted us to tell you about Solomon. And we told the prayer group, but we didn't make an announcement because in my experience, when somebody wants me to say something, and I did this to protect their privacy, that when somebody wants me to say a death announcement, they tell me, where the funeral is. I'm preaching the funeral, or whoever else is. Somebody else is preaching the funeral, and it's public information. But there was so much grief and privacy about this that I just didn't feel. I didn't get a clear signal to tell you. So, I asked their forgiveness for not saying anything, but I was trying to protect their privacy. And anyway.
Amen. Also, they have a blog. I think I shared that with everybody, the blog Solomon's Journey. And you can also go on there and make comments, condolence comments, or, encourage them in the Lord and give them scriptures. And you can also read about the story, more of the details of what happened. So, let's love the Matthews. Let's, help them to really engage back and that God will bring them comfort and healing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Just one more thing. Wednesday coming up. We have Wendell here. See, everybody say, yay, Wendell.
Yay, Wendell.
Wendell is going to be hosting a fun work day here at your synagogue. Say, this is my synagogue. Let's hear it. This is my synagogue. If we didn't have a synagogue, where would we have Shabbat? Where? I don't know where we would have it. So God's provided us a house, a place where we can worship, where we can have the kids have their own place. And we have a fellowship hall. Isn't it nice to have a fellowship hall?
Yeah.
Okay, so Wendell is, we've got a lot of work to do in our little synagogue, on our house of worship. I mean, we need to make the God of Israel, it's we are his representative here in this area, right? And we need to stand strong. If we're going to have, if God's going to have a testimony of Israel in this area, we need to make it shine like a beacon on the hill. Amen. So anyway, Wendell's going to have a work day. We're going to fix and patch up some of the pavement out here. So he really needs some strong labor help to, you know, as many as who can come. And I'm sure even if the ladies come, you can hang out and feed them grapes. keep them cool and and run errands and things like that. So any of the ladies who'd like to come and support, you are welcome to do that. And yes.
We're gonna start about 9:30 and we're just gonna have fun, clean up this. We're gonna fix this big hole first down there where you turn. It really needs to be fixed. And I've taken part of my day off to come work here on Wednesdays, try to get some of this stuff done, because I love this place and I love the people here and I need your help. So if you want to come, we're going to laugh, cut up, and get hot in the asphalt.
Yeah, there's a big pothole in the driveway, and it's about, I don't know, 4 feet in diameter, maybe 5 feet in diameter, 4x5 or whatever. Wendell is going to fix it Wednesday, and he needs a couple guys to come at 9:30 in the morning, and whoever's available to be with him and help him. Do they need to be super strong guys, or they just need to be able to help you?
What I seen was mostly we got to get that loose gravel out.
Got to get the loose gravel out.
We got to get the loose gravel out, clean it up, make it about yay deep, and then I'm going to heat up some coal patch and with a space heater and a wheelbarrow, and we're just going to pour it in, and then we're going to pack it down good. It's temporary because eventually we'll have to pave the parking lot. Eventually. Yeah. And we can later on seal it, you know, seal all the cracks, and it'll preserve it for a while.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I feel like God put that burden on my heart, but if somebody wants to come help, I don't care who it is. We're just going to have fun, laugh, fellowship, talk about the things of God while we're working, and it'll be fun. And then we'll get some grapes.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
So, praise come and hang out with Wendell. Help him out. I don't think it's going to be a super heavy lifting task, but a couple guys or a gal or two wants to come and hang out, Wednesday morning at 9:30. And we're going to try to shape up. Wendell's going to try to fix. He's also one day, he's going to try to patch up the concrete outside the fellowship hall so people don't trip in the grooves. There's a lot of uneven spots there, and they're trying to patch that up. And we're
actually, what we're going to do, we're going to jackhammer it up and redo it and put new down. That's the right way to do it. And then we can start working on our bathrooms because we need them over there. We need those bathrooms working.
Amen. So Wendell's going to put in a bathroom, and we're going to try to put in a French drain behind the building so we don't get leaks in the fellowship hall. And kind of straighten this place up a little bit.
Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. Are we ready? Okay, so we're going to bring our tithes and offerings. I'm going to pray. And for folks at home, if you'd like to contribute, if you're blessed by this ministry, if you're blessed by my prophetic teachings, if you're blessed by our visitors and our videos and our guests, and you're blessed by this, all the things that go on here at For Zion's Sake and Lion of Judah Congregation, then I encourage you to go to our website, www.forzionsake.org. Sign up for our newsletter, and you can contribute. You can tithe, or if you don't have a home congregation, if you'd like to give an offering, there's a donate button there. It's PayPal. And you can make a tax-free donation. We are a 501c3 ministry, and we need your support. So thank you, and may God bless everybody. May God bless you 100-fold as you give in Yeshua's name.
Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. to go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall no doubt come again with joyful sheaves of harvest. Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy.
Lord watches over me. So enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. For the Lord he is able to be faithful through all our generations. To be faithful in all our situations. To be faithful in all our generations.
Of the Lord, the Lord's right hand has done.
Okay, who is God's right hand? Yeshua. And his right hand, Yeshua, has done mighty things for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why he said he brought us out with a mighty arm and an outstretched hand. He brought us out. Yeshua is the one who brought them out of Egypt. Amen. So that right hand has gone before the armies of Israel for centuries. He is the Messiah. The right hand of God is the Messiah. Hallelujah. Let's proclaim the strength of the Lord, because he will give us strength as we wait upon him. Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen us to blow the shofar and worship and blow down every obstacle and every wall and every Jericho that's standing in front of us, every Goliath. Amen. Amen.
you, O Lord, are a shield about us. You're a stream in the desert. You're the hope of all our cares. splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, all will see how great is our God. And age to age she stands, and the time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the
thank you.
Folks at home, if you're gonna like to join us, we're gonna come to the Lord's table, have call it the Shulchan Adonai communion. If you'd like to join us, just grab yourself some crackers or matzah or bread, whatever you have, some juice, and feel free to join us as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Bore peri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the middle piece of bread called the afikomen, the middle piece of matzah, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he blessed it, and he would have said this, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Hallelujah. Conquering the power of sin and death forever. Thank you, Lord. Yeshua spoke of this piece of bread. He said, this is the new... he spoke of the third cup. And he said, this is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Yeah, two elements, one cup. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, Deborah, since you're staying, would you like to come and serve today? Praise the Lord.
Wanted to share.
What?
Share with the congregation.
Oh, well, why don't you share? Because I don't know the whole story.
I don't know the whole story either, but we had a party last week for Deborah. She wasn't able to come. So we celebrated and sent her off. in the spirit, and she came in today shouting, raising her hands, "I'm not going, I'm not going." So we're going to have cake in your honor again today. We've also got, would Miss Aja please stand up? Aja Melange, we have birthdays. Aja's 74 birthday. And Miss Deborah is staying with us, and I believe little Josiah has a birthday today. I don't know. I hope I didn't miss anybody, but there'll be celebrations. But we're just so glad Miss Deborah is staying with us, and she's not leaving. We're going to continue to enjoy her dance. Amen.
Amen.
And her hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, praise the Lord.
Maria, would you like to come and serve? Hallelujah. Maria, I want to thank the people who came for the prophecy conference and the folding the newsletter. I want to, Maria drove, is it 80 miles each way? Wendell? However many miles, is it, how long does it take you to get here?
Hour and 20 minutes.
So it's about 70 miles. Yeah. So she drove each day to fold the newsletter and stay here for the prophecy conference, come back the next morning, work on the newsletter, be here for the prophecy conference, and then stay all night. And she was here Monday and Tuesday. And she just, I mean, you know, she gave over, you know, she went the extra mile. She really did, literally went the extra mile. She went the extra miles to be here. And I just want to encourage folks, when we have something, an event, we had visitors, and we had very few from our own congregation. And to meet them and to say hello, they'd get to know them. We had people come who, you know, I realize some folks couldn't be here. I realize some folks can't drive at night. I realize some folks work in the day. And I get it. I understand. But folks, some folks can be here. Some folks can drive, you know, a mile or two to get here. You know, so if you were able to be here, you know, at least one of the nights, I encourage you, you know, when we have events, it's important that we show up, you know. And speaking of events, Anthony mentioned this is what I was trying to think of before. Now that I've got it, I want to let it go. He mentioned on Rosh Hashanah there's going to be a sign in the heaven of Virgo is the woman, and she's and she has 12 planets above her head. And that is the sign of Revelation 12. Is going to take place on Rosh Hashanah, the sign of the woman with the 12 stars. If you read Revelation 12, it says, "I saw a woman." John the Revelator said, "I saw a woman, and she she had a crown of 12 with 12 stars over her head, and she had the moon under her feet." And the moon represents Allah, the moon god. So Allah was under her feet, and the 12 stars she represents Israel. And so that sign is going to come in the heavens on Rosh Hashanah, on the Feast of Trumpets, that is prophetic. And but I won't talk about it any further than to say what it is. We'll talk about it another time. But Anthony brought that up before. But anyway, we're going to come to the Lord's table, and let's prepare our hearts to come. And folks at home, I just want to bow our heads for a minute. If there's anybody here today, close our eyes and let's bow our heads, children too. If you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, just raise your hand if you don't know him. If you don't know Yeshua, raise your hand if you don't know who he is. If you don't know him personally, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you today. If you don't know who Yeshua is, if you don't know him personally, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you today. You know him? You raising your hand, sweetheart? You do know him. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, and if you're at home and you're watching today and you don't know who Yeshua is, the Bible says he's the Son of God, that he came to die for your sins and mine. He was born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem of Judah. He lived in Nazareth, and he spent most of his life in Galilee. And then he died. He was crucified and buried for 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead in Israel. And then he rose from the dead and conquered the power of sin and death for us, for all the world. So whoever puts their trust in him, if you don't know him and you'd like to know him, just tell him, Lord, I want to know you. Yeshua, Jesus, I want to know you. And I need you in my life. Just tell him you need him in your life. Invite him to come into your life. Take control. Take control of our lives, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's just prepare our hearts and come as you're ready. Ladies, I'll turn it over to you.
More power, more of you in my life.
Hallelujah. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Isaac, do you want to get the live stream ready? I want to call the children up front to bless them. We'd like to ask adults who know them and gather around and surround our children and pray for them. Bless these children, Lord, with all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord. We thank you that they are arrows in our quiver, that they are the beginning of our strength, Lord. We just thank you. And we pray, Lord, that you teach them to walk in your ways, to hear your voice, Lord. Open their ears, Lord, that they would not turn to the left or the right, but that they would walk, hear your voice say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And that they would behave. They would be good for their teachers and here and in school. We pray for their success in school, that you show them their path in life, reveal what they're supposed to be, and help them to seek it and follow after it. We pray that you prepare their future mates and spouses even now and prepare them for that day. Lord, we pray that you just bless the work of their hands and help them to honor their mothers and fathers, that they may live long and be do well in life, Lord. That they would honor their mothers and fathers, and grandmothers and aunts as well, and grandfathers. And we pray, Lord, that you anoint their teachers now as they go to class. Let the words of their mouth and the meditations of their heart be pleasing, acceptable in your sight. Help them to receive your word 30, 60, 100-fold. Yes. In Yeshua's name, we bind the strong man. Children, you are dismissed. Amen. All right. Well, we're glad that you're with us today. Sure, Charlie. And we're glad you're here. Now, I prepared a message today, and the message today is called "Putting Down the Poodle in Your Purse." Putting down the poodle in your purse. Do we have Carol, do we have a picture of a lady with a poodle in her purse? Carol's going to work on that. And favor us, O Lord, with happiness and peace. Amen. There's a poodle in the purse. Do we have one with a lady, too? Lady with a poodle in her purse? Or it can be any kind of dog. But that's a good example of a poodle in the purse. That's probably, what is that, a Bichon Frise or something? That's a terrier in a purse. That's a Yorkie, little Yorkie with a ribbon. And Carol's going to find some other pictures of poodle of little doggies in purses. And today's message is called Putting Down the Poodle in Your Purse. Now, I could teach on the Torah because I was reading on our rabbi's forum. There's a lot of the rabbis are there's a lot of different ideas about the Torah on the rabbi's forum, and I wanted to clarify about Torah. Today's parsha is about Deuteronomy. It repeats the Ten Commandments. So I wanted to explain the difference between the law of Yeshua, which is not the Torah. I want you to know something. The law of the New Covenant, before I get into putting down the poodle in your purse, the law of Yeshua, the law of the Ten Commandments, of the New Covenant, is not the same as the Torah. Okay? The Torah was given to the children of Israel at Sinai. There are 613 positive and negative commandments, and they're not all listed in the new covenant scriptures. Amen? They're not all listed in the new covenant scriptures. However, it does intersect. There are times when the Torah and the law of Yeshua intersects. But the law of Yeshua is for both the Gentiles and the Jewish believers. It's written for all the new covenant believers. The Torah is a different matter. And that's a different. I've spoken on this before when I gave a message either last week or the week before called "Behold How Good and How Pleasant It Is." But I want to give a very specific message. But maybe I'll do it next week. But today, I don't know. Which would you prefer? That understanding the Torah and who it was given to, or would you prefer putting down the poodle in your purse? You want the poodle, huh? All right, we're gonna go with the poodle today. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Just anoint me, your servant, and bring forth your word today for the people. Bring forth your message to us, Lord. And answer me, Lord. Give me this message clearly. Bind the strong man and speak to our hearts, Lord, to all of us, those who are here and those who are watching. Speak to our hearts today and convict us of what we need to be convicted of, and deal with us, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, putting down the poodle in your purse. There's a little fellow there, and you might find some on Google Images of ladies carrying dogs in their purses. Have you ever seen those ladies when you're walking through airports or you're in a shopping mall and they have a little doggy in their purse, you know, and it's just the cutest little thing, and they're walking around and the dog's usually very well groomed and tiny. It's usually a toy chihuahua or a toy terrier or a toy poodle. It doesn't have to be a poodle, but I just like the way putting down the poodle in your purse sounded. So Carol might find a lady walking around with one, but we're not going to focus on that right now. That's just for effect. Okay, so I talked to a lot of people, and as a rabbi, and I have been dealing with one lady who lives far away. Nobody here knows her. Every time I talk to this person, she dredges up. I've been dealing with this person many years, and she dredges up. And there's a lot of people that I talk to, and you know, two rabbis said to me on the same day, they said, "Don't waste your time with people who waste your time." But sometimes you don't have a choice. sometimes there's people, you know, you work with or family, you can't help but deal with them, that you just you may not have to celebrate a holiday with them or take a vacation with them, but you can't get away from them, you know. So, but if you can, it's better to get away from people who waste your time, okay? And so so I talked to a lot of people, and there's this one lady I've been dealing with for many, many years, and every time I talk to this person, she dredges up the past, and she laments the sorrows of her life. She laments the sorrows. She always has to rehash. Every time I talk to this person, there's a recounting of the sorrows, a recounting of the woes, a recounting of the miseries, a recounting of the pain, the rejections, the backstabbings, the failures of other people. And the reason that this person is in the state they're in is because of all those people who rejected, who stabbed her in the back, who caused her pain, who didn't do her right, and she's in the mess she's in because of them. And I get to hear it over and 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 over. There used to be a song, over and over and over. I think it was Neil Sedaka. Do, 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 do. Hey. Anybody remember that song? All right, let's forget it now. Okay. So dredges up the past. How many of you know people who you talk to and they just dredge up the past? Every time you talk to them, they dredge up their woes and their miseries and their sorrows and their problems and their troubles and the people who hurt them, and their current situation is always blamed on the problems of the people in the past. And they always blame this person and that. Oh, if I didn't just have this situation, I wouldn't be where I am today. Just raise your hand if you know people like that. Hallelujah. We got a few. All right. Okay, so one day, everybody say one day, I woke up. And I said, no more. Everybody say no more.
No more.
No more. I said, from now on, when we talk, we're talking about from today to the future, and we're not going to talk about the past. From now on, when I talk to you, I don't want to hear about this broken marriage. I don't want to hear about this guy that stabbed you in the back. I don't want to hear about this woman who did you wrong. I don't want to hear about this group of women who did you in and cursed you. I don't want to hear about this pastor who dissed you, this pastor who spoke ill of you. I don't want to hear about any of it. Get over it. I got a little sign in my kitchen that says, get over it. It's in wood, and I bought it at like a Cracker Barrel or something. I should put it up here. Get over it. Move on. You know? Did my dad, you know, my dad was a major, he was a captain. He fought Rommel in the desert. He was in the Army Air Corps, the Second World War. I'm going to use a word from the Bible. His name was Aaron S. Bell. His men called him Iron Ass. Iron Ass Bell. Okay, that's biblical. All right? Ass is a donkey, right? Amen. That's a biblical word. See, we see a lot. See women with. Aren't they also happy? Look at them with their doggies and their purses. My goodness. Gosh. Ooh. Shh. Give away the end of my message. Okay. So my dad was a tough guy. Aaron S. Bell, Iron Ass Bell. And you know what? My dad had me when he was 48 years old. You know what that meant? That meant when I was 12, he was 60. Dad didn't play ball with me. Dad he barely came to my practices when I had sports and stuff. He barely even came to my practice. I'd come home at night, and now I love my dad. When Dad would come home, I'd rush to the door and give him a big hug, and hey, Dad, you know, I was so happy to see. I just looked up to my dad,
You know, like he was the strongest man I knew. He was the most, you know, my dad was the greatest guy. You know, I didn't know anybody better than my dad. And I just wanted to be with my dad. I used to go to work with him. I used to go to lunch. He'd take me to lunch when I'd go to work in his furniture store. My dad would take me to lunch with him, and I just loved to spend time. Sometimes he had a beach house, and he'd come down. He'd get off work. He'd work 6 days a week, come down to the beach on Saturday night, leave Monday morning early. My mom would spend the whole summer down at the beach, but he'd be home all summer long by himself, working 6 days a week to provide for our family. And he'd come down, and on Monday mornings, when I got hit around 18 or 19, I'd go to work with him. And so Monday morning, we'd get up real early, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and we'd drive back to Boston from Cape Cod, and he'd take me to breakfast. I used to love those breakfasts. We'd stop in a place called Buzzard's Bay. It's kind of like Goose Pimple Junction, except it's got ocean around it. Buzzard's Bay. I like Buzzard's Bay better than Goose Pimple Junction because Buzzard's Bay actually has ocean, and it's pretty. Anyway, we would stop a little dive and have breakfast, and then he'd take me to work. And I cherish those memories. I lost Dad in 2003. My dad wasn't, there were times I'd be watching TV and Dad would change the station on me. And there were times my back was hurting and he'd kick me off the couch because I couldn't sit down. All I could do is lie down, and he'd kick me off the couch and make me and tell me, you know, sit up. And I couldn't. I could either stand or lie down, and he didn't seem to care. But one of the things that happened to Dad at the end of his life is he had multiple myeloma, which is cancer in his back. And if you talk about someone who experienced back pain, he got to experience a little bit of what I went through. He went through it. And I don't know if that ever made him sorry for the way he treated me about my back. He didn't have any compassion for my back trouble. I mean, I was out of work from the age of 23 to 25 till I went through rehab, and then I went to law school. I lost my job, was on workman's comp. And Dad had no compassion for me. He was tough. My dad was tough on me, but my dad was good to me. My dad bought me my first car. My dad sent me to college. My dad put a roof over my head. My dad clothed me. My dad fed me. My dad took me on vacations. My dad took me to the beach. My dad, when I got sick I was working my first job out of college. I got heat stroke up in upstate New York as a salesman driving on the road, and I ended up in the hospital. My dad came up and got me. those are the things I look back, and that's why I can say today that I forgive my dad for his weak failings. I forgive him. And I told my dad, the last words I said to my dad, you know what I said to him? Who can guess the last words I said to my dad before he died? I love you. That's right. Those are the last words he heard out of my mouth, was I love you. And the last words I heard him say was I love you. And I forgive my dad. And I forgive my mom. So I moved on. I moved on. I don't dwell on the failings of my parents like some people do. Some people sit around complaining about what their father did and what their mother did. These are believers. And they sit around, in Jewish we say kvetching, I like to say another word, and moaning about their parents and what their parents did to them and what their parents did to them. Their parents ruined their lives. And you know what? I'm like, get over it. You're a believer. Forgive your parents and move on. Move on. Amen? Move on. Hallelujah. So this person that always, I was telling you about, was always, I'd sit there for 2 hours while she would just dig up the past. And I have to deal with this person regularly, as I said. And for years, I would listen to the sob stories and feel sorry. And one day, I woke up and I realized She was carrying around her past failures, mistakes, and rejections, like a poodle in her purse, constantly stroking that poodle and blaming all her problems on that poor dog. Like a woman with a toy poodle in her purse, she just can't put that doggy down. So now when I talk to her, I begin in the present. I refuse to rehash trouble, sorrows, and blame from the past. It's been difficult, but highly efficient and effective in dealing with important matters. We get straight to the point. I will not go back. I will not talk about that stuff anymore. Say no more. No more. There's another lady. Now this particular first lady is an unbeliever. There's another lady I know who's a believer. And I've known her for many years, who I talk to. Doesn't live around here. I don't think any of you know her. Who texts me fairly frequently. She too is miserable with her life. Getting a pattern here. Today, she loves to dredge up the past about what this pastor did to her, how he did her in, how he cursed her, how these people in the church that she went to or the Messianic synagogue cursed her, Jezebels and all these and serpent spirits and all these horrible things that are strangling her and suffocating her and they don't let her walk in her gift and blah 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 blah. Well, you want to walk in your gift, and you go into a church or a synagogue, you want to walk in your gift. I've told you before, start out by picking up a broom. Serve. Your gift will arise. People will recognize your gift in due season if you are regular. Now, not everybody. Anyway, I understand, you know, I had a guy one time who was 70-something years old. He came in and said, "How do I get in with the in crowd around here?" I said, "Pick up a broom. You know, you'll get in real fast. You'll rise through the ranks. You want to really get in with the in crowd around here? Clean the toilets. You will get, I'm telling you, you'll be the vice president. Clean the toilets. Just after service every week, just clean the bathrooms. We will promote you." So this lady, she loves to dredge up the past about what this pastor did to her and this Jezebel and this serpent spirit or people in the church, python spirits and did to her and demons and how she can't find a church where she lives and she lives in Section 8 housing and everybody around her is the devil and a demon and everybody's cursing her and she can't stand it and she's going to be homeless. And I've begged her for years, and we've gone over this same baloney day, month, you know, week after week, year after year. I've been listening to this junk, and I keep saying, "Can't you go to this church? Have you tried this church?" And finally, one particular person, pastor or rabbi, because I don't want to give away who this person is. I'll just say, you know, this spiritual leader that I know, called her and said, "Listen, all the people that you didn't get along with that you said cursed you, and that you said you didn't get along with and you wouldn't come because of them are gone. Please come back." Now that's the only shepherd in that town that I know that's reached out to her. Now the Bible says in And she, guess what? Do you think she went? No. And then what else do I continue getting? More complaints. More gripes month after month, week after week. I'm getting more gripes until I finally said, "No more. I don't want to hear about it." Hebrews 10:25. Stop petting that poodle in your purse. Put it down. Hebrews 10:25.
get rid of that thing. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. What's a good reason not to forsake the assembling together? What's one good reason? Grow cold. You don't get good teaching. You get television teaching, which may be good and may not, or internet teaching. You don't have encouragement. You don't have people who love you to pray for you and support you and gather around you and even take you in if you need, you know, a place to stay. I've seen people taken in, you know, and given a place to stay. When they're in fellowship, people get to know you and care about you and see you're struggling. They help you. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. But if nobody knows you, how are they going to take care of you? How about this reason? When a sheep goes outside the sheep pen, the wolves pick you off. When a sheep goes outside the sheep pen, the wolves pick you off. Amen? And that's, this particular believer, she loves to dredge up the past about what this pastor did to her, how he cursed her, how he, you know, people, what they did to her, and how these Jezebel spirits and Python spirits and demons and so forth, how she can't find a church, though she lives in a much larger area than here. This woman is virtually homeless, but she will never fellowship because she doesn't like this person or that one. Well, I woke up and I told her, God requires fellowship. As I said in Hebrews 10:25, God requires us to be in fellowship. And if you don't obey his word, he can't bless you. If you don't obey God's word, brothers and sisters, he cannot bless you. We've got to be in fellowship. Shabbat is not something, some people have this misconception about Shabbat, that Shabbat's something you do at home. No, you do it Friday night maybe, but Saturday morning, or sometimes some folks, we used to get together on Friday nights, but get together. Friday night or Saturday morning, get together on Shabbat. Leviticus 23, when God gave the commandment and to Moses, to the children of Israel, he said, have a solemn assembly. Have a mikre kodesh, a holy assembly. Gather together on Shabbat. Don't do it by yourself. Gather together. Now, if you can do a home group, fine. Have a home group. But you know, I'm sketchy about all this home group stuff, because who's the leader? What kind of credibility do they have? Who appointed them? Who sent them? Who sent the home group leader? Who raised them up? How do you know they're called? How do you know they're chosen? How do you know they're proven? How do you know they're the real deal? How do you, pastors, the gifts of pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist, apostle, those gifts are not just, everybody doesn't have all the gifts. And not everybody is called to run a home fellowship, you know. And there's plenty of phony balonies out there. There's plenty of phony baloney pastors. There's plenty of phony churches out there. I know one guy, he had a church. It was by a creek, and the creek washed the church away. I don't know if God would have let that happen if it was real, and I don't think it was. All right, so I woke up and I told this lady, God requires fellowship, and if you don't obey his word, he can't bless you. I know a rabbi, I gave it away, who reached out to her and told her all the people she didn't get along with were gone, but she refused to go back. I told her, without a covering and a flock to protect you,
The wolves are going to pick you off constantly. So one day, her life has never improved over the 5 or 6, maybe 7 years that I've known her. Her life has never improved. She has never gotten out of Section 8 housing. Her income, her wealth, nothing has ever changed. It's just been one sorrow after another. One sorrow after another. One complaint, it's just constant bitterness. And you know what? This woman has a very strong calling on her life. She's very anointed. You know, God can use you. If you may be called as an intercessor, you may be called you may have a prophetic gift. And God can still use your gift even in your misery. He'll still use you from time to time. God uses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And he will use people who are in a miserable state to give a good word now and then. But isn't it better to be in a good state? Isn't it better to be right with the Lord? And this particular woman found out, as I was talking to her a couple months ago, she was complaining about a husband from 30 years ago. And a pastor from 30 years ago. And I said, wait a second, let's stop here for a second. You're telling me you're still angry with this pastor and your ex-husband from 30 years ago? I said, you haven't forgiven them yet? And you call yourself a believer? Hello? You know, I'm going to tell you a little story. This is a personal story. I got in a car accident, and it was late at night. It was a dark road. The guy, let's just say, I don't want to talk about it because it's still current, but I didn't feel it was my fault. Okay, let's just say I didn't feel it was my fault, and we believe we were hit. We were hit. Okay? But I was in a section of the road where I shouldn't have been. It was late at night. I was in a different state. And I didn't know. It was a dark road, and I didn't know where I was supposed to be. I was in the median when I shouldn't have been there. That's just the way it is. And there's no way out of that. You know, I was where I wasn't supposed to be. But so I woke up one morning and I was feeling unpleasant thoughts toward the person who caused me all this trouble, who drove into my car, who caused me to have charges brought against me, and I had to hire a lawyer and all this stuff, and I was feeling unwholesome thoughts toward this person that morning. I knew they were ungodly thoughts. Then later in the day, Dawn was driving me to a doctor's appointment, and I prayed and I said, Lord, I forgive that man who caused me so much trouble. I forgive him, and Lord, please forgive him, Lord, from my bottom of my heart. Forgive that man for all that he did to me and Dawn, and all the trouble and the money and everything he's cost us, and hiring a lawyer and all these things, and legal troubles, just crazy stuff, that he caused me. And you know what happened 30 minutes later? The phone rang, and it was my lawyer in Pennsylvania. And you know what she said? They're dropping the charges. That's what she said. They're dropping the charges, the motor vehicle, I'm like, praise the Lord. As soon as I forgave, within 30 minutes, I got a phone call. Okay? That's the power of forgiveness. That is the power of forgiveness in action, guys. That is the power. And I can't promise you, if you forgive somebody who did you in a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 or 30 years ago, that God's going to give you a phone call, or a check's going to come in the mail for $10,000 instantaneously. But I can promise you this: if you forgive, you will see blessings come in your life that you didn't, you'd never expected. You'll see blessings show up when you least expect them, and they may come in 30 minutes, or they may come in 30 days, or they may come in a year. But they'll come, and you'll know it's because you forgave somebody. So forgive. Forgive. Yeshua said, forgive 70 times 7. Forgive those who have wronged you, have trespassed against you. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Heap hot coals on them. Pray for them. By doing so, you'll heap hot coals on them. Lend them your coat if they're cold. Wow. That's the law of Yeshua. Amen. So you can make excuses and carry your sorrows like a poodle in your purse, blaming your parents, blaming your neighbors, blaming your pastor or rabbi, blaming your circumstances, blaming your boss, blaming God. But unless you stop what's gotten you nowhere, turn and change your ways, in this case, find a church or a synagogue and stop judging everybody. Ooh. Oh. Judge not lest ye be judged. Judge not lest ye be judged. Matthew 7, 1 through 3. Judge not. Stop judging people. Stop judging. Get the log out of your eye. Stop judging your brother and sister. Amen? Good preaching, Rabbi. Shoo. And so I woke up when this lady, one day after all these years of talking to her and listening to her stories and whining and moaning, I woke up and I told her, first I told her about forgiveness when I realized she wasn't forgiving. Then when the stories kept coming after that, I said, you know what? God requires fellowship, and if you don't obey his word, he can't bless you. And you're going to be stuck. She's worried about being homeless. You're probably going to be homeless if you don't get into fellowship. And I said, nothing I can do for you. There's nothing more I can do. I know a rabbi who preached out, who I told you, reached out to her, and she needs to go there. And Don challenged her. She said, I'll go back for a week. Don said, you need to go for 6 months. You need to go for 6 months. You need to commit to going and see what God does. Not a week. I'll go for a week. I told her without a covering and a flock to protect you, the wolves are going to pick you off constantly. All right, let's go on. So you can make excuses and carry your sorrows like a poodle in your purse, blaming your parents, blaming your neighbors, blaming your pastors, rabbi, blaming your circumstances, blaming God. But unless you stop doing what's gotten you nowhere, turn and change your ways. In this case, find a church or a synagogue and stop judging everybody. Just be humble and worship God. And if somebody causes you trouble, stay away from that person. If people cause you distress, trouble, talk bad about you, speak evil of you, separate yourselves from them. Have nothing to do with them. Separate yourselves from them. And if it means getting away from people that they're around, get away from them too. Separate. Go. There's a million churches and synagogues. There's a million people in the family of God. And there's plenty of people out there who love you and are for you and aren't going to curse you. And don't be stuck on any one group or, you know, God will... He'll take away. You'll make new friends, and you'll make new connections, and you know, you'll enter a new season. Hallelujah. So I always tell people I don't advocate divorce, but if you're getting abused by family, if you're getting verbal abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, or physical abuse, I tell people it's better to be separate from people who abuse you, whether it's your children or whether it's your parents, whether it's whoever it is, it's better to be separate. I'm not saying not to talk to them. You can set the, you set boundaries. If your family abuses you, you don't have to go home for the holidays. You don't have to go home for Thanksgiving. I give you permission. I give you permission. If you get abused by people in your family and they mock you because you're a believer and they're not, and they call you names and they call you a fool or an idiot or judge your politics or whatever, and they pick on you, you don't have to go home for the holidays. You don't have to go home for Thanksgiving. You don't have to go home for Passover. You don't have to go home for Easter, your Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is. You don't have to do it. You can love them from a distance. You can call them now and again, say hello. If it gets rough, you can say, I gotta go now. Oops, just dropped a pot. Gotta go now. Just dropped my green beans. Boop. Bye. Amen. And that goes for mom and dad too. You don't have to call mom and dad every day. You don't have to call mommy every day when you're 50 years old or 40 years old. You don't have to call mommy every day when you're 30 years old or when you're 70 years old. Okay? Now, when you're 70, mommy's probably in her 90s, and it's probably not such a bad thing to call her every day because, you know, you don't know how, you may not have a lot of days left to call her. But in general, you know, boundaries, set boundaries. You're an adult, and you're saying I'm an adult. She's an adult, and she's got a poodle in her purse. See, she hasn't set boundaries, but you're going to. Amen. And you're going to get that poodle out of your purse. And you know, some people, I hear these complaints about family and bitterness and over and over and over again. You know what? Get over it and stop hanging around them. Don't go around them. If they don't respect you, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Oh. Good preaching, Rabbi. Say that with me. Go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. You can pray for people without hanging around them, you know. And just because, you know, you can forgive somebody, and people say this to me all the time, and say, well, Rabbi, should I call them? Ooh, that's the poodle in the purse. Should I pet the poodle? Should I call the person who's angry with me, who makes me miserable, and who tears me apart and tears me down and makes me feel like 2 cents, and tell them I forgive them? Well, you know what's going to happen when you call that person? They're going to shred you. They're going to chew you up like a pit bull in your purse. Okay? They're going to shred you. They're going to eat you for lunch. And you're going to hang up that phone and say, after you've been slugged in the face a few times like a prize fighter with blood coming down your eyes and a fat lip, you're going to wonder, why did I call them? Don't call them. Just forgive. Just say, God, I forgive them. God, I forgive them. And God, you forgive me. And if you want me to get with them, you forgive them. And bring us back together, but I'm not going to call them because it's just, I'm going to get slugged in the face if I do. So figuratively. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about blind spots. We all have blind spots in our lives. Those are poodles in our purses. Call it a poodle in your purse. Call it whatever you like. We each have certain behaviors, feelings, understandings, or misunderstandings that hold us back from God's best. In my years of being a rabbi, I would say pridefulness, independence, spirit of independence, which is very closely related to rebelliousness, and disobedience to authority, such as people think, I don't need you, rabbi. And rabbi say, oh, I thought you were, this is what I hear all the time, oh, we thought you were too busy. We didn't call you because we thought you were too busy. We didn't want to bother you because we thought you and Rebbetzin worked so hard, and we just thought you were too busy. that we didn't call you. Don't BS me. I'm available. I have hours. Just, you know, I mean, if it's an emergency, you can call me at night. If it's a real emergency, like, you know, I'm a rabbi, I'm in the hospital, and I just, you know, my leg, my femoral artery got cut. I'll come running down to the hospital at 12 o'clock at night, you know, if your femoral artery got cut, okay? You know, if you shattered your femur or you had a heart attack or something, I'll come running down to the hospital if I can. So I can somebody to help, if, you know, depends where it is and if I can get there, but I'll do the best I can, okay? Been there, been to the hospital many times, amen? But, you know, Lord help me. So we all have blind spots in our lives. Call it a poodle in your purse. Call it whatever you like. Oh, people say to me, oh, Rabbi, we didn't want to bother you. Rabbit said, we didn't want to call you. Listen, from 10 o'clock in the morning to 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, call, you know, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., give me a call. And if I can't talk to you then, I'll set up an appointment with you. Here's the phone number for the synagogue. 276-644-1678. Okay? And that's 276-644-1678. If you need to make an appointment to see me, you know, just make call the synagogue. If it's an emergency, you'll know how to reach me. You'll get my cell phone. Somebody knows it. You'll find it. If you have an emergency, I'm not going to give it over the internet. Praise the Lord. But that's in spirit of independence. You know, we're okay. We're doing fine. I used to be independent till the bottom dropped out of my life and almost lost everything. And then I went to ask for help. And when I went to ask somebody for help, you know, people come to me for help all the time. All the time. People come to me for help all the time. Almost every week people come to help to me for help. Sometimes I can help them. Sometimes I can't help them. Amen? But I always try to help people. I always try. If I can help, and Don and I, we always try to help them. As best we can. You know why I always try to help people? Because someday I might need help. You know, I'm not too proud to realize that someday I might need help. And what goes around comes around. As a man sows, so shall. As a man reaps, sows, so shall he reap. What you sow, you're going to reap. So, all right. So another thing. So. Independence, rebelliousness, and disobedience. I've said this before, I'll say it again. When you're going to make a major decision in your life, okay, you're going to get a change of job, you're going to move, don't go it alone. You're going to get married, you're going to make a big job career change, you're going to leave your church, leave your synagogue and go somewhere else. I tell people, don't run to God. Everybody say, run to God. Run to God. Don't run from God. And if you feel you have to hide from your shepherd, then you're running from God. If you feel you gotta hide whatever it is you're doing from your shepherd, then you're hiding from God. Where are you, Adam? I'm over here hiding God because we ate from the tree that was in the middle of the garden that you told us not to. okay. That's called hiding from God. Okay? And people who hide from their shepherds are people who they're trying to hide from God. Or they just don't show up, they disappear, the phone doesn't answer, they don't return the phone calls, they don't return the texts, and they're hiding from God because they've got problems. And instead of running to God for help with those problems and prayer, they run away. And that's not wise, but I see it. Disobedience. When I do something major in my life, I always go to my pastors. I always go to my pastors when I'm had to make a major. When I need prayer, when I have to make a major decision. Many of you have seen my pastors. They've prayed. They've ministered here. They've ministered to many of you. Amen. And you know, they come here. We've been in relationship with them. I've been in relationship with them for 21 years. Don's been in relationship with them for probably 32 years or more. You know, Pastor Ed and Kathy, you know, and I go to other spiritual leaders. Some you know, some you don't know, for advice and counsel. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. Don't go it alone. Don't rely on your poodle. Don't rely on your terrier. Okay? Don't sit there and talk to your little, you're a cutie. You're going to, what should I do? Should I marry this guy? Oh, okay. Yes, I'm going to marry this guy. And I'm going to leave town and I'm going to move away 250 miles. And then I'm going to call everybody and tell them I got married and ask them for my blessing.
God help me.
Oh, you're such a cute little thing. Disobedience to authority, such as people who marry the wrong person when we advise them to seek marriage counseling first. I gave up on marriage counseling. I had so many people that were so burning. You know, the Bible doesn't say get 3 months of marriage counseling and then get married. It says it's better to marry than to burn. It says it's better to marry than to burn. So I used to require marriage counseling years ago, but people were leaving us. And I said, you know what? I'd rather keep people, let them screw up, and try to help them through their bad marriages because they made a mistake, because they didn't go through counseling, and they didn't listen to us. I'd rather love them and have them still be in the congregation and put up with their poop than lose them. I was losing. We were losing many couples, young couples, because I would say, I require 6 to 8 weeks of marriage counseling before I'll marry you. So finally, a change came, and God spoke to me, and he said, Joe, it's better to marry. Somebody asked me to marry them, and God, and I asked God what to do because there was no counseling, and God said it's better to marry than to burn. And from that point on, if somebody's burning and they want to get married, I'll marry any couple. I'll marry two 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, whatever. They come to me and they're burning. I'd rather see them get married, screw up their lives, and be miserable because they didn't graduate college, they have no way to provide for each other, and they're going to have financial hell. I'd rather marry two 18-year-olds and watch them screw up their lives and go through the poop with them than have them go off and lose them altogether. That's what the shepherd does. He has to suffer. Long suffering. Amen? I don't prefer to marry because of burning. I'd rather counsel. I got marriage counseling. It was good for me. It's really helped me and Dawn a lot. We got marriage counseling before we got married, and when we hit a wall in our seventh year of marriage, we got counseling again, and now we're in our 21st year. That was 3 times 7, and we haven't gone back to marriage counseling. You know, now we work things out together. Praise the Lord. So, you know, let our marriage be a testimony to you, to some of you, that you can do it. And you can find the right person is out there. Well, I was growing up a naughty little boy in Newton, Massachusetts. God was preparing a lovely wife for me here in Tennessee. Amen. Well, I was growing up a mischievous little I don't know what I was, but whatever I was, I was a sweet boy. I was always sweet. I just had a little, I had a mischievous side to me. But anyway, well, my kids will tell you I'm still mischievous, you know. Am I naughty, Isaac? I tickle out of your, I take their fries, I give them noogies. I'm just, it's terrible what I do to my kids. I buy them donuts and I eat half of them. And then they say, "Dad, can I have a donut?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I bought them for you." You know, like, "Oh, they're, half of them are gone. I thought you bought them for you." Oh. That's because it's a 40-minute ride from the donut shop. I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, come on, I'm just human. All right. We all have blind spots in our lives. Call it a poodle in your purse, whatever you like. We each have certain behaviors, feelings, understandings, misunderstandings that hold us back from God's best. In my years of being a rabbi, I would say pridefulness, independence, rebelliousness, disobedience to authority, such as people who marry the wrong person or when we advise them to seek marriage counseling first. That probably falls within rebellion, but either way, it keeps us from God's, and not just the marriage thing, all these things, you know, running from God, that Adam and Eve thing, eating the fruit of disobedience and running from God, instead of running to God, keeps us from God's best for our lives. Amen? More blind spots. You'll never get rich if you don't learn how to invest. If you're just because you don't know how to do something doesn't mean you can't learn. And I'm not saying I'm the best at it, okay? But you'll never, if you're not, and I'm going to tell you something, and I want to help people because God helped me. I've been on my own since I was 22 years old. I've been on my own since I was 22. Nobody helped me. Now, I reached a point with just $7,000 in savings where I owned my first duplex house in Boston, made a $95,000 profit selling it, came here, tithed on it, and took the rest and bought a bagel shop, 15-unit apartments, another little house, the investment property, and eventually we have a synagogue. And now we have our own house that we live in. And with a $7,000 initial investment, all that came since 1990. We sold the house in 2000. So I bought the house in 1995 before I was a believer, before I was married. But from that initial $95,000, I was able to invest in all those things. Okay, with $7,000 starting investment. Everybody say $7,000. That is not an impossible amount of money for you. Now today, $7,000 in 1995, that's probably more like $22,000 or $25,000. But the point I'm making is, it is not impossible to save if you work at it, and you work, it is not as impossible to save something to get you some seed money to get yourself started in an investment and live your dream. My dream was investment property. My dream was owning a bagel shop. Gee, I owned a bagel shop and I had investment property. And my dream was to drive a Ford Expedition. And for 12 years, I did. I got to live my dreams. Now, my dreams weren't quite as big as Donald Trump's, but, you know, or Hillary Clinton's. But, you know, for the most part, she's still searching for us. Yeah, Isaac says. But I still have other dreams that I want to fulfill, and I'm dealing with bigger challenges now. Cancer and health issues that are, you know, have caused me. I have books to write, And I have documentaries and films, things that I have, big plans, big dreams that God has given me. And I am, it's going to take God to provide resources, and it's going to take, but I'm determined to fulfill my dreams before I leave this place. I'm determined to get to accomplish these things. And if, amen. And I have these are very prophetic things, which I won't go into. Okay, so we all have blind spots in our lives that hold us back from God's best. And so you'll never get rich if you don't learn how to invest. You'll never get rich if you don't work hard. You don't even have to get rich. People just want to make a living. You know, most people just want to make a decent living, be able to feed their family, put a roof over their head, buy cat food, whatever, you know, put on their clothing, you know, buy clothing and not have to go to the thrift shop. You'll never do well if you don't do well in school, kids. If you don't do well in school, chances are you're not going to do well in life. I've seen it. I've seen it over and over again. If you don't do well in school, Xavier, you will not do well in life. I say that to all the children in the room. Amen? You've got to do well in school, especially from 9th grade to 12th grade. You've got to do well from 9th grade to 12th grade, or, you know, and then you've got to go to college. Today, to be successful in life, unless you're going to be a carpenter, unless you're going to be a plumber, unless you're going to be an electrician, get a trade. Even then, Dante's going to trade school to learn to be a carpenter. Unless you're raised up, somebody teaches you to be an apprentice, plumber, electrician, carpenter, drywaller, something like that, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that if you don't want to go to college. But if that's not your, but if you want to be a lawyer or an accountant or a businessman, if you want to be a pilot or you want to be an engineer, you want to be a doctor, you need to go to college and you need to go to school, grad school. You'll never fulfill your calling to God, folks. This goes for everybody. You'll never fulfill your calling in life if you're not available when God calls you. If you're not available when you hear, when God knocks on your door and an opportunity comes and you say, sorry, God, I'm busy, can't answer the phone right now. Sorry, this is Fran, I'm not home right now, please leave a message. you'll never fulfill your calling unless you make yourself available to God. And if that means getting some things out of your life, if that means, you know, getting some things that tie you down out of your life, get them out of your life. You know, make yourself available to serve God. Make yourself available. I'm almost done. It's like the rich young man. You know, God, Yeshua asked him if he would come and follow him. He said, and sell all his, but he said, first sell all your belongings. He said, that's a very difficult thing you ask because I'm very rich. And he couldn't do it. Now, Yeshua might not have required it, but he couldn't pass the test. And the test was, would you be willing to get rid of all those things? The test for Abraham is, are you willing to sacrifice Isaac? God didn't require him to sacrifice Isaac. He just asked him, he told him, like, you're going to do it. And Abraham lifted the knife, but he didn't do it. God said, stop! He just wanted to see if he was willing. Okay. People who think they know it all, oh boy, are generally unteachable and ultimately too difficult to work with. And I've met a bunch of them. People who think they know it all. Why do you come here? Why do you come to a church? Why do you go anywhere if you think you know it all? And I've met my fair share. I'm not saying there's anybody here, but you know, I'm just saying, people who think they have all the answers and they know it all, they don't need me. Well, they don't need me. and there's just no point, you know. You got all the answers. You got it all figured out. Good for you. Go pet your poodle. Okay, what are some other pet poodles? Fear, unforgiveness, how do you treat others? Loving your neighbor, treating them as yourselves, being kind to people, forgiving people, don't refuse counsel or help to get ahead. Don't refuse counsel or help. And when you get counsel, go to people that are reputable, people that are successful in the area that you want. Like, if you want counsel in real estate, go to people who are professionals in real estate. If you want to invest in the stock market, go to people, several people, who deal with investing in, or people you know who are successful in the stock market. If you want to buy, you know, whatever it is you want to do, if you think you want to be a pastor, go talk to several rabbis or pastors, you know. Get some advice. If you think you want to be a pilot, talk to pilots. Amen? You want to be a stonemason? Talk to Wendell. You want to run a galley? Talk to Charlie. Praise the Lord. Okay, so complaining. Got to stop complaining. I'm not going to go there. 1 Corinthians 10 warns us, don't grumble like the children of Israel did. God hates grumbling. He hates whiners and complainers. And that's what I've told you about those two ladies. The complaining, the grumbling, the griping. God hates that stuff. He hates it. We got to stop grumbling. Stop judging others. And then there's faith. This is the end. Two last scriptures. Hebrews 11:1. See, those people who I was talking about, they're operating on feelings. I feel hurt. I feel wounded. Where's my pet poodle? I feel hurt. I feel wounded. Don't you love me? I feel strangled by the python spirit. I feel Jezebel's after me. Give me a kiss. Give Mama a kiss. Amen? Pet poodles never talk back, do they? We just love those pet poodles. You know? But God doesn't base, our faith isn't based on feelings. I feel this or I feel that. Our faith is based on, is not, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're called to believe, not to feel. We're called to believe that God is what's the word I'm looking for? God is able, and God is faithful and just to complete the good work that He started in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is true, and that God will see us through. Amen. And God will bless us. But and James 1:8 says, a person who is double-minded is unstable in all their ways. People who live their life, even believers, based on feelings, and don't get me singing the song, people who live their life based on feelings are double-minded. Because if you're focused on your feelings and your little pet poodle, then you've got an idol. It's idolatry. And your idol is your pet poodle, your feelings, your emotions, your hurts, your wounds, your sorrows. Your parents didn't do you right.
your sister did. She did. This person here, this assistant pastor, he didn't like me, and he says all kinds of things about me. This Jezebel spirits, and
it's idolatry, guys. Move on. Let it go over the falls. Drop it. Go forward. What's that song by Devo? Go forward. Move ahead. Try to detect it. Go forward. Whip it. Whip your emotions. Whip your feelings. Whip that poodle. Stop kissing it. Get it out of your purse. Now stand up. I want to bless you. Praise the Lord. And anybody who kisses dogs needs a really serious mouthwash. And a good toothbrush. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha Vayesem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Amen and amen. Shabbat shalom. And if you need to repent, hey, listen, one more thing. If you need to repent of any of these things, I'm going to just turn some music on. You can come to the altar. I'm just going to open it up right now. You can come to the altar and kneel down and just confess. If you've got poodle in your purse, if you've got idols, if you've got relationships that you haven't forgiven and people that you've been complaining about for years and whatever, you need to let it go. I'm just going to open the altar and ask Carol to put some music on, and just come and confess it to God and get it out. Okay? If you need to set boundaries in your life and you got a lot of junk, you know, get the poodle out of your purse. Thank you, Lord.